This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, July 2nd. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Thompson optimistic about labor bills prospects. USMCA negotiations will continue. And Rollins on religious messaging. Here's a programming note. AgriPulse Daybreak will not publish tomorrow due to the federal holiday. We wish you all a happy 4th of July. A bill to overhaul America's H-2A agriculture guest worker program stands out from previous attempts that thanks to a secure U.S. border. House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson tells AgriPulse newsmakers, previous legislative efforts have failed due to some lawmakers saying the border must be controlled before bringing more temporary foreign workers into the country. That according to the Pennsylvania Republican. Clearly the border is under control today by the United States of America, he said. The ag chairman also is hopeful his bill, the Securing Agriculture's Workforce Act, can go the distance because it has such broad support from the ag sector, which was lacking in other ag labor measures. Thompson is optimistic about prospects for the bill in the House Judiciary Committee, which has jurisdiction over the issue. Chairman Jim Jordan of Ohio will likely look positively on the fact the legislation calls to enshrine into law so many of President Donald Trump's executive actions, Thompson says on Newsmakers, which will run tomorrow. But separately, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa said while he supports ag labor reform that's desperately needed, the bill would face a steep climb in the Senate. Any immigration legislation is difficult to get through because once you put something with agriculture workers out on the floor as badly as it's needed, you invite every other immigration issue to come up at the same time, and you never even get 60 votes to bring up the bill. AgriPulse Newsmakers again to be posted tomorrow. No, it's not terminated. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer said yesterday the administration would not renew the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, but the agreement is still in place. The United States will continue to engage with Mexico and Canada to address the agreement shortcomings and our trade deficits with these countries, Greer said in a statement after officials from the countries virtually met yesterday. The move was met with approval by House Ways and Means Trade Subcommittee Chairman Adrian Smith of Nebraska, who called it, quote, an opportunity to strengthen enforcement so the agreement functions as intended. You can read more on the story at AgriPulse.com. Now, in case you missed it, AgriPulse also had stories at AgriPulse.com on two new funding programs, one to expand domestic fertilizer production and another where the Farm Service Agency will play a small and mid-sized beef processors for higher costs they face acquiring cattle due to low U.S. inventories and other market conditions. Both programs will be funded through the Commodity Credit Corporation. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000 plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says her communications with USDA employees haven't changed despite being sued for sharing religious content. My message remains exactly the same, Rollins told AgriPulse at the Great American State Fair yesterday. You know, it's remarkable that the Biden administration could have Transgender Day on the White House lawn on Easter when they're in office, Rollins said. And when we're in office, I send a happy Easter, you know, the light defeating the darkness, the greatest story of all mankind, and I get sued. So anyway, no, we will continue on. The lawsuit, which was filed on May 13th by USDA employees, alleges Rollins was, quote, pressuring the plaintiffs to share in her religious beliefs by sending Christmas and Easter emails. Having defended the Easter sermon in the press, Secretary Rollins is likely to continue the practice of sending proselytizing message to all USDA employees to mark Christian holidays and observances, the complaint says. Former President Joe Biden does not appear to have had a separate event for transgender Americans on Easter, but he issued a proclamation in honor of Transgender Day of Visibility, which is observed annually on March 31st. In 2024, that date coincided with Easter. The Environmental Protection Agency yesterday announced plans to challenge of up to $30 million aimed at reducing the use of pesticides to dry out crops before harvest. The agency is seeking input to design a national competition aimed at developing substitutes for chemical crop desiccation, a process used to dry out plants like small grains, pulse crops, oilseeds, potatoes, and cotton in the weeks before harvest, that according to an EPA press release. The release points to smarter crop timing, natural drying methods, and precision technology as potential alternatives to or ways to cut back on chemical use. EPA is requesting public comments on how to design the challenge and structure prizes. And Alaska Supreme Court's ruling that a challenger with nearly the same name as incumbent Republican Senator Dan Sullivan can appear on the August primary ballot is pushing the Senate race from lean Republican to toss-up, according to the Cook Political Report. The Alaska Senate race has already been teetering on the brink of toss-up column, and this week's bad news for Republicans about the makeup of the ballot is enough to shift it to our most competitive category, Cook analyst Jessica Taylor said. If the challenger, retired teacher Dan J. Sullivan, makes it to the general election in November and pulls even a few points away from Republicans, it could sway the outcome. The Democratic candidate, former Representative Mary Pallotta, is a proven electoral overperformer, Taylor said. The last Democratic senator from Alaska was Mark Begich, who was elected in 2009 and served one term. Anti-establishment sentiment was on display in Colorado's primaries as voters chose Washington outsiders to be Democratic nominees in November elections. Democratic Senator Michael Bennett, who has been in the Senate since 2009 and is a member of the Agriculture Committee, lost a bid to advance to the race for Colorado governor. State Attorney General Phil Weiser defeated Bennett 55-45% and now moves to the main contest, which Democrats are heavily favored to win. Both candidates sought to pin the other as not tough enough on President Donald Trump. Weiser criticized Bennett for supporting the nomination of Brooke Rollins to be Agriculture Secretary. Bennett, who is expected to stay in the Senate, is just the latest member of Congress this year to lose a race for state office. Weiser outflanked the senator by casting himself as the more anti-Trump candidate, said Nicholas Demba, political analyst for the nonpartisan Inside Elections with Nathan L. Gonzalez. In a major political upset, Coloradans rejected the reelection bid of Representative Diana DeGette, ranking Democrat on the House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee. DeGette, in Congress for 29 years, lost the primary to Democratic socialist and lawyer Balot Kiris. Kiris, fired for criticizing her law firm's position on Israel, quote, was the ideal foil to DeGette, whose relatively moderate position on the issue made her vulnerable on her left flank, analysts at the nonpartisan Cook Political Report said. Four House lawmakers are relaunching a congressional caucus focused on dairy issues. Representatives David Valadao of California, Joe Courtney of Connecticut, Mike Simpson of Idaho, and Susan Delveen of Washington have announced that they are reviving the Congressional Dairy Caucus, which dates back to 2006, but has seen periods of both activity and dormancy since then. A press release from Valadao's office said the caucus will work to elevate the concerns of dairy producers struggling with, quote, high input costs, competitive pressures from trade partners, and shifting consumption patterns. In a statement, the National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO Greg Dowd said having caucus members representing dairy districts on Capitol Hill, quote, ensures thoughtful discussion and advancement of the shared policy priorities that unite and sustain their constituents. Here's today's final word. Now that the president has made this decision, it is critical that the administration involve Congress as they continue to engage with Canada and Mexico. Congress has a clear constitutional role in developing trade policy, and the administration must respect America's Constitution even as it disrespects America's farmers. That's Representative Angie Craig of Minnesota, top Democrat on the House Ag Committee on the Trump administration, saying it won't renew the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, July 2nd, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nellie.